Last time we spoke about Perek Aleph, and we saw that Yov was suffered terrible punishments based on the Satan's focus on him, having him in his bullseye. Yov's response, we saw, was very heroic. We saw in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, he said, Arom yatzati mi beten imi, ve'arom ashuv shama, Hashem natan v'Hashem lakach, yihi shem Hashem mevarach. What a seemingly very positive, strong response. And in fact, the Navi is Me'id Alav in Pasuk Chaf Bet. It says, Bechol zot lo chata Iyov. With all this, still Iyov did not sin, velo natan tifla lelokim, and he did not respond negatively to God. This is the end of Perek Aleph. Of course, in Perek Bet, Iyov slowly loses his footing and eventually breaks. If we take a look first to see just the content, the Malachim gather again, as they're called here, B'nei Elokim, in front of God, and the Satan amongst them. Pasuk Aleph, Vayi Ayom Vayavo B'nei Elohim Lihityatzev Al Hashem, Vayavo Gam HaSatan B'tocham Lihityatzev Al Hashem. The B'nei Elokim come in front of God, and the Satan with them. And in Pasuk Bet, Hashem addresses the Satan and says, Eimi Zetavo, where have you been? Like we saw in Perek Aleph. And the Satan responds and says, I've been flying around the world. Mishut ba'aretz u'mi'etalech ba. From flying around the world. Whatever that means, we'll get back to it in later shirim to talk more about what the symbolism of all these images is. Hashem addresses the Satan in Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Hashem al Satan, Hasamta libchai alavdi Yov. Did you see how Yov has withheld what you've done to him? Ki ein kamo ba'aretz, like I told you. There's no one like him. Ish tam v'yashar yirei Elokim v'sar meira. He's a straight, tamim person, fear God-fearing, stays away from evil. Ve'odenu machazik b'tumato, and he's still sticking to his tamimut. V'tesiteni bo levalo chinam, and you encouraged me, you incited me to cause him to suffer for no reason. Satan holds his own ground. He says, this is nothing what you allowed me to do thus far. Pasuk Dalid. Vayana Satan at Hashem v'yomar, or ba'ad or v'chol asher yish yitain bi'ad nafsho. A person's willing to suffer whatever it is as long as he stays alive, as long as he doesn't suffer physically. Pasuk hey, ulam shlachna yadcha v'gay al atzmo v'el b'saro. Let's now hit him personally, not just his possessions and his children. Let's see if he won't respond negatively. Hashem agrees to the Satan, Pasuk Vav, V'yomer Hashem al Satan, Hino v'yadecha, achet nefsho shmor. He's in your hand, just don't kill him. And indeed, we're told in Pasuk Zayin, the Satan goes out, he strikes Iyov with plagues. Iyov is sitting on the floor with a cheres, a piece of earthenware, scratching himself, sitting in the ashes, in this terrible situation. Interestingly, Pasuk Dalet, V'tomer lo, Pasuk Tet, excuse me, V'tomer lo ishto. His wife says to him, Otcha machazik b'tumatecha. You're still sticking strong. Barech Elokim v'met. Curse out God and die. Meaning you're only being kept alive as a challenge. Give in. You could say Eov's wife was the first devil's advocate. Okay? So she's giving it to him. And he says back to her, ouch. None of the boys here should speak to their wives. None of the wives should speak to their spouse. You speak this terrible speech like a nivala. Gam et atov nekabel me'et Elokim ve'et hara lo nekabel. We take the good, we're not going to take the bad. B'chol zot lo chata Iyov b'sfatav. And still, like we saw in the end of Perek Aleph, b'chol zot, we saw in the end of Perek Aleph, b'chol zot lo chata Iyov, and here it says, b'chol zot lo chata Iyov b'sfatav. But now we have a third round. His friends come to visit him, and finally he cracks. Perek Gimel says, Achrei chein patach Iyov et piu v'yekalel et yomo, and we'll be seeing how he curses his day in Perek Gimel. Perek Bet, as we mentioned, is the slow erosion of Iyov when he loses control of himself. And obviously the question we want to ask ourselves is, how does this happen? Very often people see the end result, and people fall, and people do the wrong things, and we say, wow, that's terrible. There isn't much to learn from the end result. What we need to learn from are the stages in the process that get us there. The very famous, important Rashi in the name of Chazal, where mitzvah is to, you see someone loading their donkey or unloading the donkey, and you can help keep it up or take it down properly, keep a load up. It says you should all jump to help because it's a lot easier to keep a load on the donkey than to pick it up once it's fallen down. I think there's a big lesson there, which is when there's a small problem and all you need to do is make an adjustment to hold it together, that's a lot easier than having to pick up the pieces when you finally let it fall. And unfortunately, things only get depressed when they're falling apart. It's not as flashy and as exciting and as mercy-inspiring when something is in the midst of breaking down. But that's really when we need to get involved and keep it from falling. And the question is, what happened here? How did Eov fall? Well, let's go back to the very beginning. Eov accepts what's happening to him in Pasuk Chav Aleph, in Perek Aleph. Arom yatzati mibet nimi varom ashuv shama. I came into the world with nothing. I'll leave with nothing. Hashem natan v'Hashem lakach yihi shem Hashem mevarach. And as I mentioned last time, this pasuk is part of the psukim we say when a person loses a relative at a funeral. Hashem natan v'Hashem lakach yihi shem Hashem mevarach. Part of the tziduk hadin. When a person suffers a loss, in addition to saying the bracha of Dayan HaEmet, a person should also say these kind of psukim. So it seems Eov is responding in the right way. And when you look in Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud, as we mentioned, it says, "B'chol zot lo chata Eov b'svatav." He still hadn't sinned. But I think in both these places you see that there's a root problem that is going to lead to what's happening next. In Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud, you see it very clearly. It says, "B'chol zot lo chata Eov," like it said in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chof Bet, but here it adds one word. What word does it add?
B'svatav.
B'svatav. And if you look here at the sheet, Perek Bet, the Ibn Ezra writes, Lehorot ki od yechta bisvata viyotzi mi piv milim berov tzaro. This intends to show you that he hadn't yet sinned with his lips, but that's going to be coming. And of course, that comes very soon. Rashi presents a different dimension, and I don't think it's a stira in any way. Rashi says, bisvatav aval bilibochata. He hadn't yet sinned with his lips, but he had already sinned with his heart. Where do we see here that Eov had sinned? Rashi gets it from the Gemara in Baba Batra, Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, in the third source here, where it says, "Bisvatav lo chata, belibo chata." Maike Amar, what was he saying in his heart? Eretz nitna biyad rasha pnei shofta yichase. The hand has been given over to the forces of evil. The mouth, the face of the judge has been covered over. He's not seeing. He's allowing these terrible things to happen. Psukim that Eov eventually said later, he was already thinking in his heart now. But as I mentioned, I think you see it already in his first response in Perek Aleph that I believe the Satan is responding to. When something bad happens to a person and they accept God's judgment, there's two ways to accept, to express this acceptance. The first is to say what Eov said. Hashem natan v'Hashem lakach. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. It's his right. God gave it to me. He has a right to take it away from me. What Eov is not saying, though, is that what's happening is right. There's a difference between saying he has a right and saying it's right. I mentioned other times this month that in America there's a confusion between the right to have an opinion and an opinion being right. Just because everyone has a right to an opinion doesn't make the opinions equally valid and right. Here, flipping it over, Eov says the Lord has a right to take it because he's the one who gave it. But he doesn't say that the Lord is right and what's happening is right. And if you look at the sheet, there are many psukim and Tanakh, I gave three examples, that speak about recognizing God as doing the right thing. In the very Perek Lamed Bet, in the Shira, in Parashat Azinu, we say, Hatzur tamim pa'alo ki chol derachav mishpat el emunah ve'in avol tzadik v'yesharhu. God is straight, honest, reliable, just. This pasuk is an introduction to the Shira. That's a response to a situation where the Jewish people are suffering. And it's an expression of a recognition that we deserve this suffering. Or in Yirmiyahu, it's attributed to the Melech Yoshiyahu, Gadol Eitza V'Rava Aliliyah, Asher Einecha P'kuchot Al Kol Darchei Bnei Adam, Latet Leish Kidrachav, Chfima Alalav, God gives people what they deserve. Or as we say in Eicha very soon, Tzadiku Hashem Kifiu Mariti. We recognize God's tzidkut and the fact that we're suffering because we deserve it. And an excellent example to see how these ideas are expressed we find in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. It says Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan was taken prisoner, eventually killed, executed by the Romans for teaching Torah. And it says that he was punished. His wife was also killed. His daughter was put into prostitution. And it says when the three were taken out, sadku aleihem et hadin, they accepted, they recognized that God was righteous. Who amar, what pasuk did he say? Hatzur tamim paalo, the beginning of the Varim Perek Lamed Bet pasuk Dalet. V'yishto amra el emunah ve'en avel. Bito amra, the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, gadol etzav v'rabal ilayah, and Hashem nech b'kol tada. So when we say tziduk hadin, we also say Hashem natan, Hashem lakach. But we add to it, Hatzur tamim paalo, el emunah ve'en avel. That's what's missing here. And I think that's exactly what the Satan picks up on and takes advantage of in the next part. He says to God, look, all these things that are outside of himself, you took those away, that's one thing. But now take away his health. What's pshat? People take their lives and their health for granted. It's what we know. We never knew ourselves not to be alive and not to be healthy, unless you had to, but you know, most of us don't. We don't know that we have a lot of money and possessions. So when we get things that we don't take for granted, we see that it maybe is a gift from God. Eov did. Not everyone does, but Eov did. So when he lost his car, right, his animals, and his children, and his possessions, he said, God gave them, and God took them away. The son said, you know what? The Satan said, now take away from thing the thing he sees as his, as not something you gave him. That's why, of course, it's so important, you know, every morning for us to realize that our life is being returned to us, and it's a good way for us to remember that life is given to us in the first place. Person wakes up in the morning, they're a little bit disoriented, their soul's coming back. You ever felt that way? You forgot what day it is, where you are, your computer's rebooting. It's a good way to remember the fact that our life isn't naturally within us and it's given back to us every day, which is why even before we wash in the Tilat Yadayim, you're supposed to say, Modeh Ani Lefanecha, to express that recognition, thanks rooted in recognition. Sheikh Zarta Binishmati. And then after we say Netilat Yadayim, we say Elokai Nishama in the form of a bracha with Hashem's name. You can't say Hashem's name before you wash your hands. We say it a second time because it's so important to take advantage of that and to commit ourselves to Kol Zman Shana Shama B'Kiribi Modeh Ani Lefanecha, right? As long as my soul is within me, because I realize it comes from God, I'm going to keep admitting and try and serve Hashem the right way. And the truth is, in our tefillot, we talk about God being reliable twice. Modeh Ani Lefanecha Melech Rabbi Emunatecha. The other time we talk about it is, of course, in the second Beracha of Shmoneh Esrei, when we say, V'ne'eman atah l'achayot meitim. We learn from the fact that we are revived and brought back to life every morning to believe that God will eventually bring back all the dead, because really, what's the difference? God brings us back to life every morning. But that's a hard thing to appreciate, and many people take their lives for granted. We're not surprised when people wake up in the morning. We're surprised when somebody doesn't. But we should be surprised when somebody does, because it's a chidush. It just happened so. So Eov, it seems, had taken that for granted. And now the Satan was taking advantage of it. And as we read, the Satan said to Hashem, take away that life, that health, and then see how he responds. So now if we tune in again later in Perek Bet, when his wife says to him, come on, give in, and you'll be put out of your misery. Pasuk Yud, he says, you're speaking ka'achat ha'nivalot. Gam et ha-tov nikabel me'et Elokim ve'et ha-ra lo nikabel. And as we saw, the Pasuk said, he still didn't sin with his lips, but he sinned with his heart, right? What was the sin in his heart? Where do you see the weakness already here? He's judging. The first time he didn't judge, he said, Hashem natan, Hashem lakach. He didn't say whether it's right or wrong. Now he's already judging. He said, we accept the good, we don't accept the bad. Meaning, I, Eov, decided that what's happening here is wrong. I have to accept it, but it's unjustified. It's unfair. So again, he's not speaking anything wrong, but it's indicative of where he's coming from. And that's why he's right before his fall. It's very important for us to understand the limitations we have in our understanding of reality, of what's good, of what's bad. Beautiful story about the Magid Mimizrich and Rav Zusha, the very famous Hasidic Rebbe Rav Zusha, who a very famous story that he told people, when you come to Shaman, they don't ask you why you weren't Moshe Rabbeinu. They ask you why you didn't live up to be Rav Zusha, if your name is Zusha, right? They're not going to ask us why we weren't Rav Zusha. But in any case, the Magid Mimizrich, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, had a Chassid who came to him and said, the Gemara says in Brachot Af Nundalid, Chayav Adam Levarech Ala Ra'a Keshem Shemevarech Ala Tova. A person has to bless God for the bad he suffers the same way for the good. So the Chassid came to the Magid and said, to bless God for the bad, I understand, but to bless God the same way? How can you bless God the same way? So the Maggid said to him, ask that question to Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha lived a life of terrible Yisurin, and he figured, you know, he'd have a good answer. So the Chassid understood why he was being sent. He went to ask Rav Zusha. You should know the Maggid sent me. He said, I should ask you, Kishem Shavarach ala Tovah, Kachavarach ala Ra'ah. I should bless in the same way, but how can you? So Rav Zusha said to him, why are you asking me that question? I never suffered anything bad in my life. And obviously the Chassid walked away with a very powerful lesson about our refraining from judging about good and bad and complaining and being frustrated. To us it seems bad, but we don't know. We don't know why. We don't know what. And like we said in Rosh Chodesh benching yesterday, Shiyamale Hashem Mishalot Libenu Litova. We ask that God fulfill our wishes in a good way. We don't know that all of our wishes are necessarily good and in a good way. So already here, Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud, Chol Sot Lo Chata Yov Bisfatav, but Bilibo, there was a problem. What is the final step where Yov finally comes out and sins with his lips? That happens in the wake of the last three Psukim of Perek Bet. Because the first Pasuk afterwards, Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph, says, Acharechein Patach Yov Et Piu, Vayikalel Et Yomo. So these three Psukim here must be the final stage. And interestingly, the Satan is not involved. What are we told here? Eov's three friends heard of everything that was going on, and they came from their places. Eliphaz, it seems from Teman, Bildad, Ifshuchi, and Naamati also mean places. They came from their various places to come together, Lanudlo Ulinachamo, to console Eov. Okay? They raised their eyes to see him. Pasuk Yudbet, Vayesu Etenehem Erechok, Velo Hikiruhu. They didn't recognize him because of what had happened to him. Vayis'u kolam vayifku. They raised their voices and they cried. Vayikru'u ishmi'ilo, like Yov had, they tore their clothing. Vayizriku afar al rashayim ha-shamayim, and they threw dirt on their heads as a sign of mourning. Vayishvu ito la'aretz shivat yamim mishivat leilo, like we do with mourners today. They sat with him on the ground for 7 days and seven nights. They didn't say a word because they saw how terrible the pain was. Says Perikam Pasukal, after that, that's when he opened his mouth and cursed. What's the juxtaposition here? Soloveitchik explained, and it's very, very powerful, that people suffer things. It's a terrible thing, people suffer things. But the degree, the significance of that suffering depends on how much it really changes our lives and who we are. And that depends on how the world around us, how our friends see us now in light of those differences. Let's say you have a friend who undergoes something terrible. Whatever it is. I'll give an example. A person is in an accident, they lose an arm. Now you go to visit them in the hospital. What should your goal be? Maybe we never stated it out, but psychologically, subconsciously, what should the goal be? You go to visit them. The goal should be to interact with them the same way you interacted with them the day before. You see them the same way. You're friendly with them the same way. You like them the same way. The last thing in the world you'd want to do is, oh my God, you have one arm. Oh man, your life is really different now. Or to walk in and go, oh. You walk in and go, oh. So that's it? Whatever suffering a person has had is reinforced if now they're seen differently by the people in their life who they used to count upon. And it's alleviated, really to a very large extent negated, if the world around them sees them the same way. It's critical. Soloveitchik said, here these friends came. And it's not critical of them, but just, they didn't mean it negatively. They walked in, they couldn't believe it. They went shocked. What's Eov seeing? They're sitting shiva over him. For 7 days, they don't say a word to him. Why didn't they say a word to him? Because what can we say? But what did Eo feel? My own friends can't talk to me. Look at me. I'm mamish like I'm a rachmanis. That social distance is what broke him. It's what confirmed that what was happening in his life was of major significance and irreparable. Rav Soloveitchik said this is the flip side, what the period of visiting in Avel is supposed to be about. As we know, for 7 days,
the Avel sits on the floor and we visit him. But the difference is we talk with him. We wait for him to talk, because, but we talk together. We show a person who's sitting Shiva that we relate to you the same way. You're still my friend. You still have people in your life. Person's lost a relative, a major part of their life. Everyone else in their life comes. Maybe people they haven't seen in a long time. Says, we're still with you. We still care about you the same way. You haven't changed. Our relationship hasn't changed. And that's of major significance here. You can see from what happened with Yov and his friends, what happens when that is missing. Next time we will talk about the way Yov sinned with his mouth and cursed his day.